Hello?
Hello, Trish, it's just Aaron calling you back from INS Law. Is now a
Hiya.
Hi, is now a better time to talk for you?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, okay. So as I said, my name's Aaron. I'm calling you from INS Law, and it's just in regards to your inquiry through the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Yeah, I just wanted to be, like, I saw an advert that it said for people that have been in religious settings. Is it just religious care that...
No. So basically what it is it's if you've been in care before December 1st, 2004,
mm-hmm.
And you've had wrongdoing done to you, so you've suffered some form of abuse, you've faced some trauma, then this scheme applies to you.
Okay.
Okay.
I think my older brother might have already got compensation for you, but he obviously has a different experience to me because we were separated.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, so like me and my other brother were put together in foster homes, and then my older siblings were put in care homes. So,
yeah.
Like I didn't go through the same kind of abuse as him, but I went through a lot of emotional abuse. I don't know if that counts the same.
Yeah, it does, of course.
But it has had a huge impact on my life.
I can completely understand that. There's four types of abuse that this scheme look at.
Mm-hmm.
There's emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and neglect.
So as
long as you fit within the guidelines, which I'll assess throughout the phone call anyway, and then be able to inform you of more detail later on. But yeah, if you've suffered emotional abuse, it doesn't matter what severity, it's still abuse that you've suffered at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, Trish, so I just do want to inform you that these calls are recorded for training and quality purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'll do is I'll just start off with getting some general details from yourself, and what details have already populated through from your inquiry. And then I'll go through and explain how we work as a law firm and how we can represent you, how the scheme works, our funding and fees when it comes to representing you. And then I'll go through your care settings with you and you know, the experiences that you've had.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll gather some ID and proof of address at the end just to verify who you are and for money laundering purposes as well.
Yep.
And then I'll send you out your applications and our documents via emails. You can do electronic signature with your finger, and it just literally populates your signature across all documents. That comes back to me, and then I can send your application off to the Scottish Government and request for the application number then.
Okay,
so I'll try and be as quick as I can for you, but it is going to be around about 30 minutes if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. How am I best describing you in terms of your title? Is it Miss or Mrs.?
Miss,
okay. So I've got Miss Trish Cuthbert.
Yeah.
Is it
my
Trish?
My full name is Patricia.
Patricia.
Yeah.
Patricia. Okay, and do you have a middle name at all?
No.
No, okay. And I've got your email here as trishc22@hotmail.co.uk.
Yeah, that's it.
Perfect. And what's your date of birth, please?
10/8/1986.
And what's your current home address, please?
It's 12 Venus Place, Cellar Dyke. And the postcode is KY10.
Yep.
3FL.
Perfect, yeah, I've got that here. That one there. Okay, perfect. And the best methods of contact to yourself, are you okay receiving emails and texts alongside the phone call?
Yeah, emails are probably best.
Okay, perfect. The only text messages you really get from ourselves is just, yeah, you've missed a call, or here's, you know, what's going to be coming today. Here's a link to sign the documents, that's all.
Yes.
Okay. So I do just want to reiterate to you, Trish, that I do appreciate discussing experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting. So please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or would prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I do just want to clarify, do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities?
No.
No, okay. So yeah, as I said, the purpose of this call will explain the redress scheme to you and your options around the scheme, how we work as a law firm, our fundings and fees, and then I'll assess all information that you've that you'll give me and tell you whether we'll be able to assist you or not.
Okay.
Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm to represent you. The three options that you are entitled to. The first one is that you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is that you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme. They are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. But under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. So regardless of whether you are successful or not, the law firm will still get that funding from the scheme.
Okay.
INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme, so we won't claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us, being option three, you would be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, which is what we call here a CFA. Mm-hmm. And we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. So just to clarify at this stage, are you being instructed by any of the solicitors or law firm at all in regards to this redress scheme?
No.
No, okay, that's perfect. Okay, so our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So what that means is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything to us. Mm-hmm. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either.
Okay.
If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would only consist of basic charges based on the time and effort spent on your case and also a success fee as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus that VAT of your redress payment. So you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap. So obviously with that 16% plus VAT, that total percentage is 19.2%. So that's what we'll take from your redress payment for, as I've just explained, and the basic charges, time and effort spent on your case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it is important, Trish, that I do make it clear that we can't unfortunately guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award that the scheme may award you. But what we will do as a law firm is we'll do our best to strengthen and present the best case that we can to the Scottish Government in order for you to receive the most out of the scheme.
Yeah.
Okay, so if instructed, we can assist with you're eligible to apply to the redress scheme. What we do is we gather and review all evidence given to ourselves. We'll then prepare that evidence alongside witness statements, which is taken off you further down in the process. And then we submit that application to the Scottish Redress Scheme. We always have full correspondence with the Redress Scheme in regards to when the independent panel will be assessing your case and also the conclusion to your application as well. We'll always advise you of any offer made with the level of award that the panel may give to you. And once that award has been awarded to yourself, there's then a statutory waiver that you then sign. But I'll explain all that in greater detail shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Any assistance that we can also give with any reconsideration or review of the process with the scheme or offer awarded.
Okay.
What the statutory waiver is basically if a redress offer is made, there's a statutory waiver to sign, which basically is if you accept the award that's been given from the scheme, you then can't go and take out a civil claim towards these institutions or local authorities because that the scheme have basically already dealt with anything civilly.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay. I do also want to inform you, Tricia, you do have a right to cancel So if you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing the agreements. You can also cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately on your case whilst your cancellation rights still remain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to sign the agreements, would you be happy for us to start straight away?
Yeah.
Yep, okay, perfect.
Can I just ask one thing? Do I have to, like, name the foster carers I'm talking about?
Do you have to name them?
Yeah.
If you remember the names, yeah, of course. Because obviously any little detail helps. But as long as we can try and locate where your foster care was, or the local authority that was in charge of your...
Do they then get in trouble?
No, they don't get in trouble.
Like, informed of, like, what you're saying about them as well? I want to know, really.
I'm not going to guarantee they don't personally get in trouble or informed. It is more so the blame for your wrongdoing is more so done from the local authority than the individuals itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obviously them individuals are funded or ran by the local authority itself. So we more do so aim at the council.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as I said, any detail in regards to exactly who it was, helps towards matching it on records, or if for whatever reason it's not on record, at least we have a name to go by.
Yeah. See, I kind of worry about that. Like, I worry that they'll find out.
Okay.
Because I don't live too far from them, if you know what I mean. Like, it's...
Right, okay. What I can do, I can just pop you on hold for a second and just speak to my manager and just get some clarity on that for you, if you'd like.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, just give me 1 second.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Trish, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Ah, yeah, perfect. Thank you very much for your patience with that one. So I have just got the clarity from my manager and other colleagues as well. The foster carers themselves, they don't get informed of this.
Okay.
All it is more so, obviously, that if we grab the details of your foster carers. It's so the council and the Scottish Government
can check that I actually stayed there. Yeah,
they can kind of confirm that placement. But this scheme does just more focus on the local authority, so the local council that placed you, and you know, the Scottish Government as a whole as well. For them kind of basically admitting that they messed up. So your foster carers will never be informed. And they'd only be informed as such if it was more so like a civil matter, where like you guys would have to go to court and stuff like that, which is not what this scheme is.
Right, okay. That's okay then.
Okay, so you can breathe now. I do understand the anxiety with obviously them being so close to you.
I'm 40 years old and I'm still scared of making repercussions from talking about things.
I completely understand. I really do. So what I am going to do is I'm just going to go through a few questions to fill more of your application form out. And then we'll go on to your care settings, and whether that's just one or a few, I'll grab a little bit of a brief statement of the experiences that unfortunately happened there, and then this will populate into your application form for you to have a look at and sign. Okay, so part of your application, have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses at all?
No.
No. Okay. And would you like to nominate a beneficiary for your application?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. Have you applied to the Scottish Redress Scheme themselves for an advance payment at all?
No.
No. Okay. And was you known by any of the names during your time in care?
No.
No.
Just Tricia.
Just Tricia.
Yeah.
Okay. And have you changed your name by legally by deed, poll, or marriage?
No.
Okay. Okay, and what's the name of the GP that you're registered at, please?
It's Skeith Health Centre.
Is that in Edinburgh?
No, it's in Anstruther.
Okay, could you potentially spell that for me? I might have misspelled it here.
S-K-E-I-T-H.
E-I-G-H.
It might even be I-E. I might have got the I muddled up.
That's okay. Is it on Crail Road?
Yeah, that's it.
Perfect. Pop that one in there. Okay, and can you remember the address that you potentially lived at prior to being placed in care?
We moved around a lot. I couldn't tell you. Somewhere in Perth.
Okay, Perth. That's absolutely fine. Okay, and am I able to grab the name of your mother and father, please?
Yeah, it's Patricia Cuthbert, just the same as me, and Martin Cuthbert.
Martin, did you say?
Martin, so it's M-O-R-T-O-N.
M-O-R-T-O-N.
Yeah.
And that's Cuthbert as well?
Yeah.
Perfect. The only reason why I ask for your mum and dad's name is because some of the records that have been filed by the local authorities or councils, because you're under the age of 18 during your time in care, some records can be placed under your mum and dad's name. So some authorities do ask for your parents' names.
Yeah.
So just say we're coming back to you at a later date. I can just grab all that information. No. Okay, so that's that. That's that. Oh, that's probably as well. Perfect. Okay. Okay, so moving on to your care settings now then. Can you tell me the name of your first kiss setting, please?
I think when me and my brother were first taken out, it was we were taken out from school,
Yeah.
and we were taken to, I think it was it might be Montrose, but it was only for one night, it was a temporary placement, and then we got
Okay.
moved to somewhere else. Sorry, there's so many places I can't actually remember them all.
No, it's okay. Obviously, take your time.
So I think Montrose was it Montrose? Might have been for one night, and then we went to Arbroath, I think. We stayed there for a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months.
Okay.
And then
What
they
was
kicked us out just before Christmas, so we had to end up staying in a care home for 2 weeks over Christmas time.
Okay. So you said it was Arbroath, was it?
Yeah, that would be our first proper placement because I think the first one was just a temporary placement.
Yeah, no, I
It was like
understand that would have been,
emergency. Yeah.
yeah, one night. Was it Arbroath school?
That we went to.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember going to school when I was there, but yeah, it would have been.
Okay, yeah, cause what's going up here is Arbroath List D School.
Right.
And that's on, is it Brechin Road?
It
Or
was right next to
Brechin?
the leisure centre. That's all I remember from that place. It was right next to the leisure centre. Sorry, I was 6 years old at this point, so my memories are quite hazy from the start.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand. Just bear with me, I'm just going to have a look at this
Yeah.
school and see if there's a leisure centre nearby. Okay, there's definitely no leisure centre there.
It was a house that was next to the leisure centre. I remember that.
Okay, I know this sounds really mad, right? Can I ask you, have you got Google Maps on your phone?
Yeah.
Could you just type in this address that's come up for this list D school and just see if these surroundings look familiar? Just obviously because I don't know if this leisure centre's been knocked down, anything like
Yeah.
that. It's 84,
84.
and then it's spelled BRECHIN.
Say that again, sorry, 84.
84, BRECHIN.
BRE. Oh, Beacon Road. It might have been that.
Yeah. Just to see if them surroundings look familiar to you.
That doesn't look familiar, but I actually have my care records in my cupboard. I can look them out and I could probably find the right address.
Do you know what? Do you? Because
I was given
that's
my
perfect.
care records. Wait there, I'll see if I can find them. It might take me 5 minutes to actually look them out, so
Yeah, go on, take your
I
time. That's
have them in
okay.
my cupboard. I'll be back in a minute, I'll see.
Yep, not a problem. Thank you.
Where are they? Hi, are you still there?
Hello, Trish. Yep, I'm here.
Hiya. Yeah, so I've found some of them. Right there. 1993. That was, so, yeah, sorry, I'm just going through it. This is just a list of all things that happened before I was taken into care.
Yeah, so, no, of course. It's pretty handy that you've got that, so, yeah.
There it is. So... it was definitely in 1993, so we were. Oh, that's when we went to Stronachlacker. So, oh wait, so it was actually in 1992 that I was first taken into care.
Yep. Okay.
We were enrolled in St. Thomas Primary School in Arbroath. That was on the 30th of October, 1992.
Okay, so what was that school name, sorry?
St. Thomas Primary School, Arbroath. So I got the first placement wrong as well. So it says, Michael and Patricia were placed together with foster carers in Inverkeeler for one night before transferring to another foster home in Arbroath, where we were enrolled in St. Thomas Primary School.
Okay, so I bought... foster care, because that primary school is I'm gonna guess that's just like a normal generic
yeah,
primary
so
school. I put you in foster care.
Of where we lived, it just says what school we were at. So
yeah, okay. So just before, just so I can go through each one and not miss any detail,
mm-hmm.
That foster care when you were in that primary school that you've mentioned,
yeah.
Can you remember any form of abuse that happened at all at that foster care?
Not at that foster care. I know they didn't like my brother, so they kicked us out before Christmas time. So we were kind of left with nowhere to go over Christmas. I do remember that, and I remember we had to go and stay in the home that my other older siblings were staying in.
Yeah.
And that was in Montrose.
Okay. So that's after... So you've gone to that foster care, you've got kicked out, just before Christmas, then after, when you're in Christmas, you was in a temporary care home for 2 weeks, you said?
Yeah, I think it was about 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and then what's the one that you've just said there, that is it Montrose?
Yeah, that's where the care home was, I think. But the first placement was in somewhere called Inverkeeler. That was just the one-night temporary one, and then we went to the care home in Montrose.
Yeah. Okay.
After the Arbroath one, yeah.
Okay. So it for that care home in Montrose, is that where the abuse happened, was it?
That's where it happened to my brother, not to me, because, we only stayed there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but did you...
So my older brother was living there already at the time, but I never suffered any abuse there.
Yeah.
That I remember. My memory is very hazy of that time, so...
Yeah, no, of course, I understand. Did you, by any chance, experience... or witness him being abused at all?
No,
okay. Because it's not that I don't want you to think this at all. It's not that I'm dismissing any of these placements. I just need to input the care setting that I need to make a statement on, if that makes sense.
So you don't even need to know about any of this.
I mean, it's good. No, it's good for me to know your timeline in itself, of course. But yeah, if just where you've
where I experienced emotional abuse was in my final placement, which I stayed at for a very long time. I was there from can find the exact date. So me and my brother Michael, we went to a placement in Guard Bridge. And that was the 1st of April 1993 that we moved there.
1993. And how long was you there for?
I was there until I was 18, so a long time.
Okay, just bear with me then. 86. 87. So it's 11 years then, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 1993 to 2004. Does that sound roughly correct?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. What's the name of that care setting, sorry?
It was a foster home.
Ah, foster, okay.
Yep.
Okay. And what was the name of them parents, please?
Dorian and Ian.
Dorian?
Yeah.
Dorian and Ian. And is that spelled D-O-R-I-A-N?
No, it's D-O-R-R-I-E-N.
R-R-I-E-N.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it Dorian and Ian, and do they have a surname?
Stuart.
Stuart.
So it's E-W-A-R-T.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So I've got that foster care here, 1993 to 2004. What I'm going to do now is, if it's okay with yourself and if you're okay with it, is just obviously take some details in regards to your time in that foster placement. Mm-hmm. So if you can remember, Trish, talk me, you know, from day one, kind of like what you've experienced, what it felt for you, and I've been in the background just making a little bit of a statement.
Yeah. Like, to start with, I was quite happy to be there. Like, it was the first time I'd ever had friends and things. Like, I made friends very easily when I moved there. And they gave me a lot of attention for, like, being good at school and things like that, which I'd never really had before. So, sorry, I got a lot of this is very hard for me to talk about because I didn't realise, like, that some of it was abuse until I became an adult. And I realised that, you know, I probably shouldn't have been treated like that. But they were just very, very, very strict. Like, there was rules, like, you had to eat everything at the table, whether you wanted it or not. Like, she would always give you food that you didn't like and force you to sit at the table until you finished eating every last bit of it and you weren't allowed to leave. Just little things like that. And like one day I remember someone broke a handle off of the door and we were then shut in the bedroom for the whole day until someone said who did it, even though no one was admitting to it. It was like so stressful. We locked up in a room with all the other foster kids. Or like it'd be something like I'd done something wrong and she would like ignore me for 2 weeks straight and I'd be trying to please her the whole time, like doing everything I could. And then 2 weeks later she would blow up at me and tell me what I'd done wrong, like 2 weeks ago. It's like little things like that that really have had the effect on my mental health because my whole life because of it.
Yeah.
I focused on everybody else, caring for everyone else, making sure everyone else is happy. I never thought about myself once. My brother, actually, who he was all I had really, he had enough of it and he ended up running away. So I was kind of left there on my own. But sorry, it's really kind of difficult for me to talk about. It was a safe home, but at the same time, it wasn't really safe for me mentally.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
I was cared for and fed and things, but yeah, there was just a lot of emotional kind of abuse, if that's what you want to call it. I don't know. See, it sounds like, see, when I say it out loud, it sounds so much like less than what my brothers went through. So
yeah,
I don't
no,
know
of
if
course,
that's ineligible for anything because
yeah,
you know,
no,
it could
yeah.
be so much worse. There's foster kids out there that is so much worse, you know.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I completely do understand how you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
but even just the slight glimpse of what you just said there, obviously, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
your foster parents, you know, they didn't talk to you for 2 weeks and stuff like that. Them
mm-hmm.
them small signs of abandonment can play a massive impact on
yeah,
all
it
the
has
adult
had
life.
A huge impact on my life, like,
yeah.
I mean, I ended up getting pregnant when I was 17, and she was so angry with me about that. Like, I don't think she ever forgave me for that because I was supposed to be going to university, and like, that's what was going to make her proud, being the only,
yeah,
one of the foster kids that go to university. And then I ruined it by getting pregnant. So she was, you know, she treated me really badly from the minute she found that out.
That's okay.
So,
just bear with me, and I'll note that because. I understand that. I do understand as well. Obviously, parents can have big dreams for the kids, but life plans out in many different ways.
Yeah.
A little story about myself. I come back to I'm from the UK. I'm from England,
mm-hmm.
and I moved to Australia when I was 17.
Yeah.
And I went to go and live with my dad. And just before COVID happened, I flew back, and I was going to turn 21, And yeah, we started getting locked down and stuff, and I was like, okay, well, I stay for me 21st, and then, you know, I go back once, you know, once it's all blown over, thinking it was some sort of like Ebola or swine flu, like a little bit of a news thing, but not so serious.
Yeah.
So once the lockdowns got lifted, I ended up booking flights, and then we got locked down again. I was like, I'm meant to be going back to Australia. Like, what's going on? And
mm-hmm.
then my ex partner fell pregnant, and I had a little girl, and. I didn't end up going back to Australia, and now I'm still here. I've got another son to my current partner, and just life just sometimes just doesn't work the way people want it to.
Yeah,
So I can understand what your foster, you know, what your foster parent was wanting, but they can't
yeah.
be angry at you for how life just
yeah,
happened.
Like, yeah, she treated me really badly after that. Like, it was just like every day making me cry constantly, and it was a horrible time. So when my
yeah.
son was born, I moved out. Because we just had to, because we were just arguing every day. Like, she was making me feel bad for my son crying and things. I'm like, he's a baby. I don't know what you want me to do. Like, he's keeping my son up at night. Because she'd adopted another son. So, yeah, it was things like that. I was just made to feel guilty about absolutely everything. Like,
yeah,
no, I was at risk of my control. Yeah.
Of course. But that in itself there, straight away, is... That is emotional abuse. It's playing with your emotions, and not only
yeah.
yours.
But
you know,
see, a lot of that I didn't realize until I was older, like, and just how much it really has affected my life. Because I don't speak to anyone. I keep to myself. Like, I'm scared to actually talk to people, and you know,
yeah.
I don't have a partner. I've been alone pretty much most of my life, really.
Yeah. Well, no, you're doing a fantastic job speaking to me. You should be proud
yeah.
of yourself for that, and you know, alone. Especially sharing your experience with that.
Yeah,
you know.
It's really hard for me to talk about because, like, sometimes, like, I feel like I should be so grateful to her for bringing me up, like, when my mum couldn't and didn't want to.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay.
My brother ran away, and he ended up being addicted to drugs, so he died 5 years ago as well, so...
Oh, no, I'm sorry to hear that.
That was quite tough. So he left me there on my own. Like, he didn't tell me that. He said he asked me if I wanted to go, but I was too scared. So he just ended up leaving without me. He went back to live with my mum, and they let him do that. But I didn't want to live with my mum again, so I chose to stay. So I guess it's really my own fault.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And again, it's that little bit of you know, abandonment again, isn't it? That
mm-hmm.
plays a big part for you.
Yeah.
But no, just know, obviously, you know, you're waking up every day. You know, you can see the sun outside. You know, you're able to smile. You've got, you know, your son around you as well. So, you're already winning in life.
Yeah.
You've got purposes to be here, and you're a strong enough woman to get through each day despite how
Yeah.
you're feeling. So yeah, you should be proud of yourself. You really should. Falling pregnant. I understand. When you said your foster mum would make you constantly cry during the pregnancy, what was it that what she would do to set you off or say?
Just lots of it's hard to say, little things like she wouldn't let me do anything or it was basically she just kept making me feel guilty about being pregnant. That was basically the gist of it.
Yeah.
That throw my life away and all everything else, constantly reminded me of it. I guess I probably was a bit more emotional than usual anyway. But yeah, I think she was very disappointed because I had a place at university and, it didn't make her look good.
Yeah.
Everything was about making her look good.
Just going back to obviously before you fell pregnant, you were at the age of 17. Just so I've got this right, was you was in this foster care with your brother as well, was you?
Yeah,
Yeah.
until I think I was about 12 when he ran away.
And when he ran away, what was, can you remember his reason for that?
He said, "Well, I spoke to him as an adult, and he said that he just couldn't take it anymore. It was just too strict, and
And when he did run away, did he not come back, and you didn't see him until later on in life, was it?
he didn't come back. The next time I saw him." It was him and my mum met up with me to see if I wanted to go and stay with my mum, but I chose not to. I said no, I didn't want to go with my mum because he had a more of a bond with my mum than I had. Obviously, he was a bit older when we were taken away, and that was the last time I saw him again until I was an adult, I think. I think he came to visit us once at the foster home, maybe. Yeah, maybe when I was about 16. But then I didn't really have any contact with my family again until I was an adult.
Yeah, okay. I got all okay, so just jogging back obviously through your memories and stuff, just so I can potentially add anything else. So obviously you're placed at this foster care when you're around 7, 8 years old. At the very start, your foster parents were quite warm and welcoming to you. They were affectionate and giving you praise for being good in school or around the house. But obviously as you got older, things turned a little bit differently. You said that they become more strict. Obviously when it comes to sitting at the table and not moving until you were told kind of type. you obviously then mentioned that somebody broke a door handle on accident. Nobody wanted to admit it. Instead, your foster mum got angry and then didn't really talk to anybody for 2 weeks, you said?
Well, look, that wasn't that incident. That was just that incident. She shut us all in the bedroom and, like, wouldn't let us out until someone admitted who'd done it. Like,
ah, right, okay.
Not talking for 2 weeks was the thing she would do to me, like, randomly. Like, this was when I was older, mainly. Like, say I'd done something that disappointed her, she wouldn't tell me what it was. She would just ignore me, like, knowing that I'd try and do everything I could to please her and make her happy with me again.
Yeah.
And then she would blurt it out, like, ages later what I'd done, and then I'd get in trouble, and then I'd get grounded, like, after the fact.
Okay, so she locked
so
in the room.
That wasn't that incident with the door handle. No, the door handle was where she shut us all in the room for the day. Like, no one was admitting it. So I eventually went out and said that I did it because I wanted out of the room so bad.
Yeah.
But she didn't believe that I'd done it anyway. So I think she was listening in at the door to what we were saying. And that, like, I told everyone that I was just going to say it was me, even though it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I understand.
Sometimes I do think she did it herself, like, just to punish us.
Just to punish her, yeah.
That's what it felt like, anyway. Because there was times there was other foster kids in the placement, like, it wasn't all the time. But she did foster other kids quite a bit.
Okay. So what was the incident then? Sorry, I do apologise if you've already...
The one where she wasn't talking to me for weeks.
Yeah, that one.
I can't even remember what I did. Honestly, I can't even remember what I did. It was something so small.
Ah, right, okay.
Like, it was just over little things that I did that didn't please her, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or say a total little lie about where I was or something like that. Like...
Yeah.
This was when I was a bit older, like when I was a teenager.
Okay. What I'll do, if it's okay with yourself, I'll just read back what I've written down for you, and if there's anything that pops into mind, anything that you'd like me to add in a situation that I may have missed, just feel free to do so. And obviously, I'll see what you think of this at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I've said is, when being placed here, I was around 7 or 8 years old. My first foster parents were quite warm and welcoming to me. They were affectionate, giving me praise for being good in school and around the house. But as I got older, things started to turn differently.
Mm-hmm.
My parents became more strict, and whether we were eating or not, they used to make us sit at the table and not move until we were told.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody broke a door handle on accident, and nobody wanted to admit it. She locked us in the bedroom as nobody was admitting it because she was so mad at us.
Mm-hmm.
To save the peace, I went out to her to admit it, and she didn't believe me and knew it was somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do think she may have done this herself in order to punish us just for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was in this foster care with my brother. I remember being around 12 years of age before he ran away. I didn't see my brother again for quite some time, and it wasn't until I got older that I found out he ran away because he couldn't handle the treatment here.
Mm-hmm.
I got pregnant at the age of 17, and my foster mum was really, really angry at me for falling pregnant. I understand my foster mum had ambitions for me, but I couldn't help full control of Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
I was just as scared as being—I was just as scared being pregnant at a young age, and my foster mum would make me constantly cry and play with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
When I told her, she made me feel so guilty for it. She would constantly downgrade me and my feelings, knowing I was producing more hormones, and it felt like she would play with them, and it would play with them, and it made her feel better by upsetting me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate enough? Would you like me to change anything? Would you like me to add anything?
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think a lot of the times as well, I was quite brainwashed, if you know what I mean. Like, so it's very hard for me to say that she did anything wrong because, like, I was made to feel so grateful to her for caring for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, of course.
That probably does sound really stupid, but, like...
Yeah, no, of course, I completely understand that.
Like, it was never her husband. He was nothing but nice to me. It was just her personality, I think. It's just the way she was. like I was kind of scared to tell anyone because like my social worker would come out obviously and ask how things were, and I would just say everyone was fine to him, like because I didn't feel like I could talk to anybody about it, about how unhappy I actually was.
Yeah. I'm just adding something at the end of this statement. Sorry, that's just why I've been a little bit quiet. That one there. I'm scared to tell myself how to wear this, the truth on how I was feeling. Do you obviously from your time in care, do you have trust issues with anybody?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't trust anybody.
Yeah, really. Okay. Just 'cause I'm just adding this into the end of the statement, you see. I can't spell.
I think like all of my siblings have like turned to drugs and alcohol, whereas I've never done that. Like I didn't want to go down that road. So
yeah,
like some people think it's not affected me the same way, but it has, like in so many different ways. Like just the way I live my life, like all alone and scared to talk to people and things.
Yeah, no. So I do understand that, Trish, and obviously drugs are very easy to turn to as a coping mechanism. And
yeah, but because of my kids, I've never done that. I've never wanted.
Of course.
I never wanted to be like my mum, you know. So.
Yeah, no, of course, completely. And not only that, obviously you've probably now done more talking than what your siblings have done over the years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I understand completely. You know,
I kind of feel good to get it out because, you know, I just kept it in for so long.
Yeah, of course. You know, you've built this up for years. You know, you haven't spoken to anybody about it, and you're not the only one to have done this, especially with myself as well. There's people who I've been dealing with who, 40, 50, you know, 60 years of age, and. I'm literally the first person they're talking to, and I've had men and women break down on the phone crying to me because they've never actually sat back and gone, oh wow, that happened to me.
Yeah.
Like they've put it in the back of the mind so much. So
yeah. Like I've always felt like, oh, I was one of the lucky ones because I was never like sexually abused or anything like that, and most were. Like that's the thing. I always feel like, oh, I've been so lucky, but really I'm not.
I completely get you, but that feeling.
That,
what I've done for you at the bottom of this little bit of a statement, Trish, is I've just put, my foster dad was completely fine with me. It was my foster mum who was a problem to myself. It's not until I've gotten older I've realised how unhappy I was. I was scared to tell my social workers the truth on how I was feeling, as I was scared of any reaction from my foster mum.
Yeah,
I felt like I felt like I was severely brainwashed in being made to feel like my foster mum was a good person to me and she could do no wrong, when in reality, she impacted my childhood quite negatively to where it now affects my relationships, friendships around me, and gives me bad trust issues.
Yeah, that sounds really accurate, yeah.
Perfect, thank you. I try and do a good enough job for yourself. Okay, so I'm just going to have a quick look over, make sure I've got all my wordings correct, my capital letters and whatnot, and then I'll save it and it'll populate onto your application then. Okay, that's all done. All right. So based on what you have told me with obviously that statement, yes, of course you are applicable to this redress scheme.
Mm-hmm.
There is two types of payments that you kind of go for. There is a individually assessed payment. A fixed payment of £10,000.
Yeah.
And what that is, obviously, you can go for that payment. The scheme will just pay £10,000. They won't look at any evidence, any supporting witness statements, anything like that. They'll just go, yeah, there's £10,000. Yes, she was in care. See you later. The other one is £100,000 that you can claim up to.
Yeah.
What I would mostly advise is that you go for the £100,000.
Right.
Not saying you will get the 100,000, that is up to. Obviously, as I said, they'll look at the level of emotional abuse that you have suffered from.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'd advise in regards to what you've told me. Because I do feel like you're more than entitled to, you know, over £10,000.
Right.
I can't tell you the exact figure. It is, as I said, all done by the independent panel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just obviously, yeah, from what you told me, it is, you know, you completely deserve more than £10,000.
Okay.
So I'm going to put you down for the individually assessed payment so we can get some further evidence, records, and be able to present this to the Scottish Government.
Yeah.
I do just want to clarify, have you ever gone through any criminal injuries compensation, civil claims, anything like that with any of these local authorities?
No, nothing like that.
No, okay. And I think I know the answer to this, but I do have to ask you. Do you have any criminal convictions at all?
No.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be an answer. That's absolutely fine. Didn't matter if you did, just obviously I'd have to dive a little bit deeper. But yeah, from speaking to you, you're a very lovely person, so I don't think you'd ever do any harm like that. So just going through, making sure I've got everything for you. That one there. Foster care, that's that. Got all them details. That's that. Okay. Perfect. So yeah, I've explained the two types of payments to yourself.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out, as I said, on an email very shortly. I'm going to send out one email that's going to have the documents in, which is going to have the part one and part three of your application. Part one is basically the generic details that I've entered at the start, all that kind of stuff, you know, your address and whatnot. Part three, that lists your care setting and the statement in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so obviously when you're going through this email, you can have a look what's where and what I've put down for you, like I've just read out.
Yeah.
You'll also receive a CFA, which again is a conditional fee agreement that just explains our percentages, what we take, which is 19.2%. That's obviously off the end of your award. The letter of authority will also be part of it. That document could be titled an LOA as well. So that letter of authority, that just basically gives us the right to act on your behalf in order to obtain medical records, social care records, anything like that. We can just act on your behalf and request for that information.
Yeah.
you can reply back to, I'm going to send you a welcome email as well, which just has all the information about us. If you need any additional support in regards to, you know, speaking to somebody about how you're feeling, anything like that, all the numbers are in there if need be. You can reply back to any of them emails with the attached documents of ID and proof of address. They'll just come through to myself, and then I'll upload them to your file. Obviously, yeah, the quicker we can get these documents signed, the quicker I can request for an application number from the Scottish Government. So yeah, have a read through of the documents if need be. If you have any, if you do need any assistance in getting the documents over to myself, just give me a ring back on this number.
Right.
And I'll assist you, no problem. But yeah, as I said, with the documents that I'm sending you from our system, you'll have a signature box. You just scribble your signature on your screen, and then there's a button to say execute all documents, I think it is. You click that, and that'll populate your signature across all documents, and then that comes straight back to me and automatically onto my system. So what I'll do is I'll send all that out to you now. And I'll look out for a little notification to come up on my screen to say that they're back with me. If I haven't received anything, just say by this afternoon or tomorrow morning, I'll just give you a quick call, just seeing how you're getting on. But yeah,
right.
Get them documents sent back to myself, get your ID and proof of address sent over to me, and I can get on to sending your application off today. With your proof of address, just make sure, and ID as well, make sure all four corners are showing and it's a clear enough picture for ourselves.
Okay. And
with your proof of address, just dated within the last 3 months, please.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem.
All right. Thank you very much, Tricia. Do you have
any...
Oh, no, that's not a problem at all. That's exactly what I'm here for. And we're only a phone call away if you do need anything else. Do you have any questions for me before I do let you go?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's not a problem. Yeah, save this number for future calls so you don't think it's someone trying to get some money off you or a scam.
I thought it was a scam caller to start with.
I know. Do you know what? I don't exactly know what it is. We are in the process at the minute of speaking with our IT department because obviously we understand on some devices it does come up as a suspected spam and whatnot.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah, rest assured, but no, of course, I haven't asked you for any bank details or anything, do you know what I mean? So I'm not trying to get money out of you. But yeah, as I said, I can get your application sent off today with the relevant documents coming back to myself. So I'll send all that out to you now. And if you do have any questions, just feel free to give me a call back at any time.
Okay. I will do. Thank you so much.
Not a problem, Tricia. I hope you have a lovely day. I shall speak to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now.